Jesus loves us just like we are. And that made it new. Because sometimes I think we try to say, well, I love you, but you chew double bubble instead of bubble yum bubble gum. And I like people who chew double bubble or bubble yum. You know, we try to set rules or restrictions on who we love. And Jesus says we can't do that. We have to love everybody like we love them. At least we don't pinch them over at church.
Jesus changes everything. That is the consensus opinion of all of the lessons drawn from the New Testament for this week's Bible readings. One of the commentators I read while preparing this sermon suggested that a baseball metaphor might be used to articulate the ways that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection altered the religious and social landscape for Jesus' followers. So I'm going to take a swing at that. The community of Jesus' followers found itself in an old familiar ballpark, but playing a new and different game. Some of the players had changed, making for a new team. In fact, all the players that had been on the long list of people DQ'd, disqualified, and unqualified to play the game, well, they were now eligible to join the team. The game was changing. It was a time of excitement and expectation for Jesus' followers. None of our Bible lessons emphasizes the newness of the game more strongly than the Gospel of John. This story comes from the night before Jesus died. Jesus' perplexed disciples are instructed by Jesus before his departure. They are given their game plan for the time after Jesus is gone. Jesus' words sound familiar. The command to love your neighbor had been around for hundreds of years and was written in the Torah, in the book of Leviticus. But here, Jesus calls these old words a new commandment. The new commandment totally changed the game. Jesus tells his followers that we must love one another as he loves us. Jesus showed us what love looks like. We don't get to choose or define who our neighbor is. Jesus does. God does. Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, home run, boom. It's a whole new game, folks. The expansion of the team to include all kinds of new players does not come without resistance from the owners and the players' union. Peter learns about God's team expansion in a dream, and then he has to go and explain his dream and his response to the dream to the owners and the union, who are understandably reluctant to welcome the new recruits. Clearly, playing a new game in an old park is causing tension and frustration. Yet, because the players are convinced that the instructions to add new players and to change the game come directly from God, who created the game and the league in the first place, they continue to play with persistence and commitment. In part, they do so because of the promise of a new ballpark, a new heaven, and a new earth. A time is coming when the conflicts between old and new will have completely faded, That promise makes all the effort of playing on Jesus' team worth it. And now, I fear if I push this metaphor any further, someone will call foul ball. The book of the Acts of the Apostles tells of the stories of how those who had followed Jesus during his lifetime became a new community of faith. Jesus was a Jew, and in the beginning, all of his followers were Jews. Jesus and his followers kept the Jewish laws, customs, and religious practices. Our story from Acts mentions two practices that were distinctly Jewish in the first century of Palestine, circumcision and dietary laws. All Jewish males were and are circumcised at 8 days old. This marks them as Jewish. The dietary laws began as a way to protect people from eating food that could make them sick. Yet, by the time Jesus came among us, the dietary laws had expanded to the point that they served more to set the Jewish people apart than they did to protect them from bad food. Circumcision and dietary laws had gone from loving ways to celebrate and honor one's faith and had become reasons to exclude people from the community of faith. The book of Acts and Paul's letters record disputes in the early Jewish Christian communities as to whether Gentile converts should be required to obey Jewish dietary laws and be circumcised if they were male. The Holy Spirit sends Peter a vision of animals considered unclean and restricted by the dietary laws. In the vision, a voice told Peter to kill and eat. Peter responds that he will not defile himself by food considered unclean. The voice then tells Peter, what God has made, you must not call profane. Because this is Peter we are talking about, Peter had to be told three times that God does not create unclean creatures before Peter gets it. Man-made barriers must be put aside. God does not distinguish between circumcised and uncircumcised. What goes into the mouth does not defile humankind, but rather it is the things that we say and do that do not reflect God's love that distance us from God. As Peter told the apostles and believers in Judea, God wants us to play a new ball game. Could I stand in God's way? The writer of John's Gospel explains how Jesus changes everything with these words. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. No longer would there be a friends and family faith discount. Jesus loved in limitless and boundless ways. We are to do the same. The struggle is real, my friends. Even though I know that I do not have to like someone in order to love them, I have a hard time with this. Are there people who are just unlovable? Or is it like Peter's dream? What God has made lovable, you must not call unlovable. I am inspired by people who do a better job of this than I do. Last week, Rachel Martin interviewed former general counsel to the FBI, Jim Baker, on NPR. Jim Baker had just published an essay on the lawfare blog titled, Why I Do Not Hate Donald Trump. Since taking office, Donald Trump has questioned the integrity of the FBI and personally attacked Baker in tweets. Yet, Baker decided to respond to President Trump not with hatred, but instead with love. In the interview, Baker talked about being unable to reconcile emotions like anger and hate and animosity that he was having in this situation. He said that at the time, he was reading Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail. As he read King quoting Matthew 5, verse 44, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." At that moment, the answer came to Baker. Reading King's letter, he knew he had to let go of all the hatred and anger and approach the situation in a different way, through something like love. In a letter from a Birmingham jail, Dr. King talks about how love comes with a sense of accountability, that love must be an agent for change. Jim Baker talked about what he means when he says he has love for President Trump. The love I am talking about is not some passive, sappy kind of love. It's strong. It's forceful. It's determined. It rejects things that dehumanize other people, such as bigotry and racism. It absolutely rejects those. And by loving the person, you don't have to love the deeds that they do. And in fact, we need to hold people we love accountable for what it is that they do. I think this is what Jesus is talking about. This kind of love is hard. This kind of love is a game changer. This kind of love says polarization is no excuse. Circumcised, uncircumcised, Democrat, Republican, male, female, liberal, conservative, agree, disagree. We all play for the same team. What God has created holy, we must not call unholy.